big step out of here.
Bubba's in the air, Northeast Ohio.
Soleil, right down Euclid.
Throw the hammer down.
Cleveland, this is for you.
Hello, hello. It may be March, but we're here to talk Cavs. This is your host, Nathan Beatley, with King James Gossip, King James Gospels Podcast. I'm your host, and I'm joined with my two hosts, Jared and Kyle Hesketh. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful.
Oklahoma sucks.
We've got no guests coming on tonight, and we're just going to disregard that for now, maybe get into some college basketball way later. I got a fact or fiction question about that, but as usual, we're going to start out with how the Cavs did this past week. They went 2-2 on a road trip. They should have gone 4-0.
Facts.
So how did you guys feel about it in general? We're going to break the games down in a bit, but overall, the 2-2, obviously we should have beat Phoenix, and we did. Beat Denver and then lost both in L.A. Any comments on those?
You could tell we were missing some key pieces in L.A., the defense was terrible. Isaiah Thomas lit us up, which obviously, actually, I was expecting that. I knew he was going to do that. And then we played the Suns game as how we were supposed to. So I'm good. All in all, I'm not happy, but I'm okay.
I mean, I couldn't say anything or add anything more than that. It was basically perfect with what Jared said. We should have won, like you said, Nathan, all of the games. LA, both games, we looked horrible. It was all defensive too. All of it was defensive, and it was horrible.
Yeah, I do agree. That's when I was looking at how to break the games down. That was one of my main points. Is the defense? We gave up. It was I think over 110 to both LA teams, and we lost both those games by 14. And it was pretty pitiful. And I'm honestly, when I was watching the games, I was surprised that we even won the Denver game. Because we won by 5, but check this out. They had 11 more turnovers. I don't know any facts on this, but when you have 11 more turnovers, I feel like the opponent should win by at least 10. That's a pretty fair assumption, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if it wasn't for LeBron hitting 3 or 4 incredibly clutch shots, we would have lost for sure.
And here's the worst part, is we had Nance out there, and I'm not sure if Tristan Thompson would help at all here or if the Cavs just don't have an answer, but can either of you guess how many boards the Cavs were out-rebounded?
I'd say 10-plus.
Kyle?
15.
It was 16. You can't – if you do that in any playoff game versus any Eastern Conference team, you're dropping an L by 10.
All right, hey, but like if we're talking about rebounds, we don't have Kevin Love. I'm not gonna say Tristan Thompson because he does not do anything for me. But Kevin Love is a walking double double who gets 10 boards a game. So obviously, if we would have had him, that wouldn't have been a problem, or as much as a problem as it was.
That is a fair point, I assume. And speaking of Kevin Love, that's gonna transition us kind of into our first hot topic that we really want to get into, and that's Kevin Love.
Hey.
He's, what was it, about 3 or 4 days ago, it came out that he was still 2 or 3 weeks away with his broken wrist or broken thumb or broken something. Broken fifth metacarpal. I'm going to say that is your pinky.
It's basically your pinky where it connects to your hand. It's your knuckle, your pinky knuckle. So technically, it's a broken hand.
So does that make your thumb your first metacarpal?
Technically, a thumb isn't a finger.
So does that mean dogs have fingers?
Dogs have paws.
Back to Kevin Love.
All right, back to Kevin Love. You are correct. All right, so he's going to come back, and I know in our group chat we've talked about him not starting, but that's a joke.
He's going
to start.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I don't know.
100% going to start. And how does he – I guess we'll take this almost turn by turn, but how do you think he gets into the rotation?
Upon his return, I believe Nance will stay at the 5, Love will slide in at the 4, Bron at the 3, Rodney Hood at the 2, George Hill at the 1. And I think the person that will probably lose the most minutes will be a combination of Jetty and Double T, I believe. Because I think when Nance goes out, we might slide Love to the five, which will create mismatches and all that stuff. So it'll be fun to see how he changes the rotation, but none of it's going to negatively affect us, I don't think.
I thought it was a really weird transition for Chetty because he went from, it seemed, averaging about 22 points, or not 22 points, but 22 minutes per game. And then it seemed like he just took a nosedive when he stopped starting. Yeah, he went from about 22 minutes a game consistently, and his last two games he's averaged like 10 or 11 besides being inactive.
That's the way Tyronn Lue coaches. It just doesn't make any sense.
It's just – and the thing is he was playing well too. Like, it's understandable that J.R. Smith lost a starting spot and lost minutes because you can't shoot 1-for-9 from three every night and expect to continue.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that a little bit later.
But for – Chetty, it's like he was doing well. He had a 5-for-11 game. He scored double figures in at least like six games. So it's like he wasn't not contributing. So it was weird to see him thrown back into the bench.
You know, it might have been, obviously he's hurt now. So my thinking is he might have been injured a little bit. That's why Lou might have been knocking his minutes down. He might have been feeling some groin pain even before he actually heard it. So maybe that might have been a reason. And on the Love thing, it said he was going to return in 2 to 3 weeks. But there was reports that he was going to – they're targeting a return for March 23rd against the Suns. So that's in 8 days. What is that? Yeah, 8 days.
Yeah, they said 2 to 3 – Terry Pluto for the Cleveland – Cleveland.com reported 2 to 3 weeks. But Kevin Love himself said – I'll be back next week.
Right.
Which probably late next week, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, it's the game, the 23rd is the Friday, correct?
The Suns, yeah.
23rd is Friday against the Suns. So, and I think that'd be a great game for him to come back into. Suns are not very good.
Easy game.
Kyle, so do you envision the rotation playing out as Jared said previously too?
For the most part, I would agree. Man, watching Kyle Korver start was a lot of fun because that he can still hit shots and he can still play aggressively.
We will get into that.
I just wanted to say that. And Tyronn Lue even said that.
We will get into it.
You asked me to talk about the rotation, so this is what I'm doing. I see Double T losing some minutes, even if he is able to play. Because of the way Ante Zizic played in spurts. To be honest, I think he could play over Double T. Love the way Larry Nance plays. I think he's going to fit well with Kevin Love. I love Rodney Hood. I love Kyle Korver. I love Jordan Clarkson. I love George Hill. So I don't know if there's going to be a lot of minutes for J.R. Smith. I'm sure he'll get some. I don't think he should, because I like the way Jetty plays over the way J.R. plays. But Tyronn Lue has this thing about playing players that he likes and players that have big names and big contracts, which is why Tristan plays, which is why JR plays. They feel the need to play them, which is why JR's been a starter for so long.
There is some reasoning to starting them, though. Not a ton, but do you guys remember the two games in the 2017 finals where we were only even within 10 points because JR took over?
Yeah, but we can't keep saying that because that was last year.
You can't keep saying that, but you can almost keep saying that as long as it's the regular season.
If he's not producing,
I feel like come playoff time, if he's hitting come playoff, it's almost like if he has one good game or two good games, you almost want to put him back in that starting lineup because you know what he's capable of. He's capable of making his own shot and helping LeBron a lot more than Chetty or Jeff Green or Kyle Korver are, because Korver's an amazing shooter and he plays well with LeBron, but he doesn't make his own shot. So it's hard to.
But do we need players that can create their own shots, or do we need players that regularly hit their shots and create confusion within the offense?
That's why I like Smith on the second unit. Him and Clarkson together, I feel like, should play really well. Because on the starting unit, it's always just LeBron give the ball to LeBron every possession and let him, or give it to Kevin Love every possession and let them create, and then Kyle Korver gets open.
Well, right now, I agree with you. I do agree with you right now, but when Kevin Love comes back, and Tyronn Lue has failed to do this all year, he needs to give Kevin Love some leeway in the second unit, and he hasn't been doing that. Houston staggers.
So you're saying keep the rotation to where Love gets second unit minutes and just is the dominant force for the second unit?
Yeah, and I don't see why that would be a problem. I don't understand why Tyronn Lue hasn't done that yet.
I think it'll be interesting to see how him and Clarkson mesh, because they don't really have any time together, correct?
That's what I'm afraid of. I am a little afraid of that.
They'll have a week or two to mesh everyone with Kevin Love.
Because in my opinion, that's why Clarkson doesn't get too many fourth quarter minutes, is because I don't think he messaged well compared to like a Kyle Korver or even Chetty or Rodney Hood or someone like that.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's kind of what we went back to last week in how, when it comes to the end of the game, how certain players need the ball in their hands to create. And Clarkson is one of those players.
Mm-hmm. Really quickly, you mentioned the group chat a little bit ago and we've all seen the articles of how bad our defense is, and it's primarily because of Kevin Love in the pick and roll. LA picked whoever they want, put them in the pick and roll, and destroyed them. It's literally, and me seeing that made me realize, I mean, I've known this all along, but it solidified the fact that it's not defensive player, like it's not the personnel that we have as much as it's the scheme and the coach.
That's 100% correct. It's not the personnel, because you can put anybody with our system, you can put anybody in the pick and roll and they'll get torched.
So then how do you correct it? If you were with if Tyronn Lue was like, hey, screw it, I'll hop on King James Gospick with these guys and talk it up, what do you suggest to him?
Fire the defensive coach.
Say the defensive coach is on here. What do you say to him? How do you fix it?
What do I say to him? Fired. This is what I say to him. Mike Longobardi, were you the defensive coach for Phoenix when Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni were in Phoenix, when they were a horrible defensive team but a great offensive team? Was that you? It was? Oh, that's why they're bad at defense. That's what I say.
I didn't know that.
Exactly. Nobody did.
Yeah, he's not. The thing is, this has been a draft of mine for the website for a little bit. When David Blatt was a coach, we were the 7th ranked defensive team in the league. And that's because Tyronn Lue was the defensive coach. Tyronn Lue was the defensive coach, which indicates Tyronn Lue he has a good scheme. So I don't know why he doesn't take over the defensive part of the aspect of the game instead of whoever, Mike Longobardi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why he doesn't, he doesn't interrupt his scheme and say, maybe we should do this, maybe we should do that. I don't get it.
Adding to that real quick, this is what I wanted to say about another thing. Since we're going to be talking about Kevin Love on the show, right, this show today, when David Blatt was the head coach, I know he wasn't great in the offensive scheme because he just used Kevin Love as a floor spacer primarily. Kevin Love's defensive rating was 99.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. And the second, not necessarily that we have hot topics anymore, kind of just talk about how the Cavs are doing, and really we can veer into wherever it goes. But we're also wanting to get into Kyle Korver, and I thought it was reported that Kyle Korver's starting now, but it's eventually going to be Rodney Hood. I honestly don't really like that. I think it should be Kyle Korver and Rodney Hood comes off the bench at the three. But that's not up to me. For starters, do we like Kyle Korver starting over Smith unanimously, correct?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And then do you guys prefer Kyle Korver with the second unit or the starting unit when Hood is healthy? Took a while to get out, but yeah.
Let me go first, Jared. Let me go first.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, we have all seen that Kyle Korver plays at his best when he is next to LeBron James. So, why not?
Well, there's a lot of, just about every Cav plays his best with LeBron. You know what I mean?
We obviously saw it in the starting lineup. He lit it up. He was incredible all game, defensively and offensively. He was incredible. LeBron actually ran sets for him. You could hear him audibly yelling at players during free throws and during timeouts, go get Kyle, go get Kyle, go get Kyle. They wanted to get him involved. They wanted to get him shots. The way you get players like Kyle Korver hitting shots early is you get them shots early. The longer the game goes on without you touching the ball and without you getting a shot up, the harder it is to get into a rhythm. I love Rodney Hood, and I love what he brings. I wouldn't mind him coming off the bench or starting. I can see both ways. Because Rodney Hood's is dynamic. He's a long guard. When you call him a guard, and he's 6'8". He's got a 7-foot wingspan. So I like either. What I thought was interesting was Tyronn Lue saying that he was originally planning on having Kyle Korver start until Rodney Hood came back. And then he said, after seeing Kyle Korver play the way he did, he has an interesting choice to make.
I'd rather have Kyle Korver start for the time being because he creates so much movement on the offensive end, which is something the Cavs obviously have lacked for a while. Like Nathan said, they post up LeBron, they give it to him, then they watch him. Or it's a pick and roll. The guy switches and LeBron backs up to the half court line, and that, you know, Kyle, what I'm talking about, that makes us so frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'd rather have Kyle Korver start solely because, one, he's efficient. Two, he gives his all. And three is because he's so good at moving the defense with his – he creates screening, he creates space, and he creates commotion that obviously gives spacing mm-hmm. for everyone else. So I'd rather have him start. And this is a reason why I'd rather have Hood come off the bench. Hood is someone who needs the ball. Well, he likes having the ball in his hands to create his own shot, but he's also pretty good at creating for others as well. But the problem with that is Jordan Clarkson, he's not much of a – I see him as a shooting guard more than a point guard. You guys agree?
Absolutely. A scoring guard, two guard. Combo. Yeah.
Yeah. So I could see Korver starting and then Hood kind of being the point forward, point guard of the second unit, him bringing up the ball, bringing the ball to the court, handling it, you know, dishing it out to people. I could see that, and I actually wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, I see that. I think for me, if we get into this, I feel like the perfect starting lineup would be with Nance in it. Nance, Korver, Love, James, and Hill. But I think the perfect ending lineup would be a bit different because I really love Korver and Love and James with Hood. I would switch out Hood for Nance, and it's because the extra shooting, and it's really how you want to play around LeBron, I think, because when you put Nance on the court, you get a lot of pluses, but you also get a couple minuses just because he hasn't really proven yet to really be able to step out too far and shoot it. And I think it's really dynamic offensively when all five guys can shoot a three.
I agree with you, and I think that lineup right there matches up with Golden State's closing lineup. I'm not saying that we'll meet Golden State in the finals. I mean, everyone thinks it's going to happen, but with Golden State's injuries, we won't get into that. But that does match up with their closing lineup right now. It would be Steph, Klay, KD, Draymond, and maybe Iggy. So that's a small-ish lineup, and Hood matches that lineup pretty good. You have Love and Draymond, or Love and Iggy, and Hood and Draymond, or Hood and Iggy, and then you got Kyle Korver on Klay, which I like a lot because Kyle Korver and him played it very similarly.
Yep.
And then you got LeBron on KD, and, you know, you just kind of put whoever you want on Steph.
Would it be Hill or Clarkson?
No, you put Hood on KD. You kind of have to because LeBron, you don't want him chasing around those screens, all the energy.
Yeah, but come crunch time, it's LeBron's right.
In the finals, it's going to be LeBron and KD.
Crunch time, though, I don't think.
Yeah, I feel you.
Because we're playing – you can talk about just crunch time and what we're going to do crunch time, but you also have to think over the 48-minute course of the game.
Right, LeBron's going to be on Draymond. And then you could even put Jeff Green as a center if you really wanted to on Iggy.
I honestly kind of feel like what we were talking about earlier is Lou kind of picks and chooses his players based on how they play and based on who he likes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like Jeff Green's out. He's done. Like, we're going to see max, like, 15 minutes of Green once everyone's healthy per game.
I don't know. I don't know about that. He's been so efficient for us this whole season. He's been having a rough stretch of games, but you know, in whole this whole season, nah, he's been one of our best players.
But it's getting to the point where people are just leaving him at 3-point line. They're not afraid of that.
Tyronn Lue's not playing him right. He needs to be in the post.
I agree with you. And this is what I've been saying. We are missing a post presence, and Jeff Green is one of those players that is a very good post scorer. I don't understand why he's not using him that way, but we've said the same thing about Love for a little bit, too. Love's been, I mean, in and out of the post. It depends on who he's playing with. When he's the second option, when he's the actual second option, and it's not disputed by anybody, not even on the team, you see him in the post. You see him, you know, dribbling into the post and making those types of scores in the post. But I don't know if you can say, well, Kevin Love's not being aggressive enough when IT was here, when Kyrie was here. He wasn't getting those post touches like he was. You could say the same thing about Jeff Green. I'm just not sure what has happened, because we saw a lot of Jeff Green in the post early on in the season, and it seems like he's not doing that as much anymore. I don't know if that's Tyronn Lue. I don't know if that's Jeff Green. Could be a combination of both. I do like Jeff Green, and I do think he could play a major role in the finals if we do play against Golden State, or in the playoffs in general, but with how he played against Golden State the two games in the regular season,
there's going to come a time where we may have to play Jeff Green, because I'm not sure Rodney Hood can contain, not even necessarily contain, but can even defend Durant like Green could, because he's too lengthy.
But
he's not as versatile and strong defensively.
You're going to hate me when I say this, because I know how much you love Jordan Clarkson. I would have Hood in there over Jordan Clarkson. I would have Hood,
I mean, maybe to Korver, end the game, but
that's what I mean. Like, in those situations, I would rather have Hood, Korver, LeBron, Green, and Kevin Love.
And just letting LeBron play the point?
Basically, you could have Hood bring up the ball, too.
I mean, I understand that. I understand the spacing that creates. And I'm not against it. I mean, I think it'd be solid. There's a lot. Let's just say I feel like Tyronn Lue's late-game lineups will be scrutinized because there are so many options for him.
Mm.
Whatever he chooses, I'm going to think that there's going to be something better. And exactly. You're going to be able to somehow manipulate it to where it is better.
Exactly. The problem with Tyronn Lue is we always say there's so many options for him, but he always seems to get the lineups wrong.
Yeah, like right the last 10 games, we should not have consistently started Thompson and Smith side by side.
Yeah.
There's just something wrong with the fact that you're going to get 10 points from both your players and you think that's acceptable.
Yeah. I think we can all agree that the benching of Smith has been long overdue.
I think, you know, the thing that I thought was really interesting was that, did you guys hear that the way that Smith was benched was that Tyronn Lue texted him and he would just basically said, okay.
Because there's no super round, dude. Come on.
Yeah, but I get that, but the thing that I don't understand is why did he get so mad the first time and then seem so calm? Like, was it just like he was just mad the first time and just...
Well, I think the first time he had kind of a sense of entitlement. Yeah, I think just the first time he had kind of a sense of entitlement because he had done so well in the previous finals and in the playoffs and just overall in the previous years that he was with the Cavs. And then you bring in, I hate saying this, you bring in an ego like Dwayne Wade and you feel like you have to start him. And that probably would upset J.R. Smith, because if you think about it, at the time, before the season started, you would think J.R. is more athletic, he's a better shooter from the outside, and he's been a pretty good defender for us in the past few seasons. And you think Dwayne Wade, well, he's a little older, yes, he's incredible, surefire Hall of Famer, doesn't have an outside shot. I mean, he's had problems with his knees and his body over the past few years, which is an issue on itself. So I can understand that, him being a little upset. I think now it's changed because JR's seen, maybe I am hurting the team a little bit by playing this many minutes and by starting. Maybe someone else should, we should see what happens if somebody else starts in my place and see if they do a little bit better. Let's see what happens with Kyle Korver starting. Let's see what happens with Rodney Hood starting. So, I think he's accepted it now just because of the way he's been playing lately.
Right, yeah.
Why do you think he accepted it Why do you think he accepted it now, but he didn't accept it 2 games ago and he was still playing that poorly? Like, do you think that was, like the culture shock for him real quick? Like, hey, these guys aren't, they're not trusting me anymore. And then he went out, had 2 bad games and then said, maybe I shouldn't necessarily trust myself or something like that.
Well, I think the soup, we talking about the soup incident, right?
Yeah, kind of like the anger behind that, and then the calmness that was perceived when he was told he was not starting.
Well, I think
it was 2 different parallels.
Yeah, I think Damon Jones said you're not starting anymore, and that coming from an assistant coach might be a little hurtful. Coming from the head coach, it's something else.
If that was what Damon Jones was saying, which I don't know for sure that was. But if the assistant coach brought it up and then the head coach brought it up, I think there's a sense of JR saying, okay, maybe I really should not be starting. So I think he probably thought it over, thought what was best for the team, and just accepted it and wanted to be a good teammate, I guess.
Well, props to him for being a good teammate, I suppose.
Yeah. And can we say he did a pretty good job off the bench?
Yeah, he had one good game at least, right?
Yeah, he did a good job off the bench in Phoenix.
All right, so that said, we ready to get into Jared's most hated game?
I hate this game.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and kick off our fact or fiction. Like usual, since Jared's going to get most of them wrong, let us know if you got them right. There's no prize, but maybe we'll figure a way to get you a shout-out or something if you're not lying. So, Jared, are you ready?
I am ready.
Cavs have given up 100-plus points in their last 10 games, fact or fiction?
100-plus points in their last 10 games?
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Kyle?
That's fiction. Not the past 10.
Jeez, I love this game. I just love that Jared's so bad at something.
Dude, it's our fiction. Our defense is terrible.
They're terrible. It's pretty awful, but they gave up 90 to, I believe it was.
Oh, it was Detroit. It was Detroit.
Yep.
And I think it was something around 90 to Memphis, too, I think.
All right. Are we ready for this one? NCAA tournament time. The current Cavs have 5 alma maters that are in the tournament right now. And the time is 7:30 Thursday.
Wait, what?
The Cavs have 5 alma maters, so Jose Calderon's college are currently in the tournament.
Oh.
It's kind of just a guess because there's no way you know their colleges.
Let's go through it. So I know Jordan Clarkson went to Missouri.
And they're in.
I know Rodney Hood went to Duke.
They're in.
Larry Nance went to Wyoming.
I'm impressed, honestly.
I don't think – is Wyoming in?
No.
Okay. George Hill went to IUPUI. I don't think they're in. Oh, my gosh. I'm stuck at 2.
There's one two-way player that is – that went to a number 1 seed. Try to guess it.
London, Prentice.
He went to Virginia. There's 3.
I don't know where John Holland went.
All right, so there you got to stop. No more. 5 Cavs, fact or fiction? 5 alma maters.
Fiction.
I'm going to say fact.
Jeez, I love life. It's a fact.
Can you name them real quick?
It was the 3 that we mentioned. And then it was Tristan Thompson, who went to the University of Texas. And it was Kyle Korver, who went to Creighton. Those 2 plus London Parentes.
Rodney Hood and Jordan Clarkson.
Yup. All right. Question number 3. Let's see if Jared can go 0-4 today. Jeff Green has failed to reach double digits since the All-Star break. Fact or fiction?
No, that's a fiction. Get out of here. That's fiction.
That's fiction. That's fiction. I'll agree with him.
That's fiction.
That is fiction.
Let's go!
All right, the Cavaliers have been out-rebounded in their last 10 games.
In total, or?
Yeah, total rebounds.
Like, overall 10 games, total rebounds?
Yeah, so. No, like, each game.
I was going to say, what?
Oh, fiction. Every single game?
Fiction. Every single game. Believe me when I say that.
No, that's fiction. No, that's fiction.
Okay, so Kyle won a perfect 4-0. Jared 2-2.
Let's go.
That's going to wrap us up where Kyle is 20-9 and Jared is 14-13. So I guess Kyle just knows his Cavs a lot better than Jared, per se. All right, so you guys have any little tidbits to add before we move on to the games of next week? Jeez. So we have Portland away, Chicago away, and then home against the Bucks and home against the Raptors, and there's no back-to-backs in there.
Is Rodney Hood playing tonight?
Yes. Dave McMenamin reported he is.
Okay.
So there's someone that was out that he said, but I forgot.
Larry Nance Jr.
Nance is out.
Okay. Damn, the Blazers are good.
And he kind of made this comparison to Nurkic being a mini-sized van and us having nobody over like 6'10", like 250.
So I'm guessing Zizic is going to start.
Yep. And he's the only big. So Nurk may feast on us. All right, but that's enough of that. We'll get into that next week or something. What's the prediction?
L.
Yeah, I'm going to say we lose tonight. We beat Chicago. We beat the Bucks. And then I'm going to say we come out with a big win against the Raptors.
So L, win, win, win. Yeah. What are you going, Kyle?
I'm confused on why Jared thinks the way he thinks. I'm going L. I'm going win. I'm going L. And I'm going L.
We're losing against the Bucks and the Raptors?
Please tell me.
I'm darn near tempted to just put four straight L's because I can't trust this team.
I know you want to. Do what I did. Do what I did last time, Nathan. Do it.
I'm doing L, dub, dub, L. I feel like that's the most sane thing to put down.
Yeah, I respect that, but I like to aim high.
Don't forget to, subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a good rating. 5-star rating. Do not forget to send us some mailbag questions. And don't worry, I will be on top of Nathan, making sure he tweets it out every single day.
You might as well rate and review if you want to keep Jared. If you want to see Jared Hesketh upset every Wednesday night, give us that 5-star rating.
And next week, boys and girls, listeners of the pod, it's going to be Tuesday. Just remember, Tuesday.
Coming at you. Coming at you.
Oklahoma still sucks.
Oh, wait.
All right. IO. And we're going to wrap it up on that. You guys have a good week.